4:30 on a Monday, downtown. Rich Kimball here, and on the telephone line, we welcome in our friend Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Hello there, Chad.
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
Doing pretty well, thanks. You know, it's Monday. It's a nice gray November day, and I'm weird. I like those kind of days.
Oh boy, it gets dark awfully early, though.
That part I'm not crazy about. I'm not a big fan of that, but I'm an early riser, so I don't mind the morning hours so much.
Yeah, that makes one of us.
your unconventional review of the Patriots game dead on this week. Some interesting coaching maneuvers yesterday.
Yeah, I'm the only one who I think of all our writers who didn't beat the daylights out of me after yesterday's game. But there were certainly a few things, a lot of things that you could question and as they were happening, and then even more so after the game, which saw the outcome. But I think everybody wants to see him be more aggressive, you know, whether that's going for it on fourth down or attempting a 55-yard field goal with Sly, who's got a good leg, or I guess it's not really an aggressive thing, but handling two-minute situations better has been an issue over the course of the year. I thought we were seeing growth. I thought he had a real good game plan against the Bears last week, and it felt like progress. And then now all of a sudden we're back to, are we sure Mayo is the right guy for the job? Because there were some pretty significant issues. I said the other one that was really big was just how they chose to defend Matthew Stafford and those two great Rams wide receivers. Because playing his own and having Christian Gonzalez cover just generally the boundary was not the best way to deploy the talent you have on that defense.
Well, no, and as you mentioned, I mean, it felt like they used the same game plan that they used against a rookie quarterback week before.
Yeah, you know, that's going to work against Caleb Williams behind a line that's as bad as the Patriots. Yeah, it feels like they got in their own head a little bit with the 9 sacks. And I think they hit him 13 times and felt like they were onto something, but that Matthew Stafford's been in the league for 16 years. He played for the Lions when they were bad. He's seen some things, you know, been through some stuff, and he's not going to get rattled by zero blitz. He's going to find one of his two great receivers wide open for a 69-yard touchdown as soon as he recognizes that, you know, the first play of the second half, I think it was. So just a bad game plan against a really experienced quarterback, and one who also, from a pure football standpoint, it was really fun to watch him yesterday. He's just still got the great arm. He knows what he's doing. You watch Matthew Stafford and the way he commands the offense, and that's kind of the hope you have for Drake May somewhere down the road, probably hopefully sooner rather than later.
Well, and again, you had the big interception, but hard to argue with the numbers he put up. It was May that really kept them in the game.
Yeah, I was so wrong about whether he should play because I thought his inexperience and their ineptitude on their offensive line and their lack of real talent at the skill positions was going to conspire to really give him problems. And instead, he's lifted everybody up, which is crazy because he was considered a raw prospect even as the number 3 pick in the draft. We heard Belichick talk about his footwork issues coming out and, you know, hadn't to taking snap under center in college and things like that. So you felt there was a real learning curve that he's going to have. And instead, he's poised. He's fearless. The physical talent's really obvious. Made good decisions. Generally knows when to throw the ball away, which is something that tends to come later for quarterbacks. So if you're looking like at the 30,000-foot view of this season, the number one thing you have to take away is that Drake May's learning and progress has been really remarkable. I don't think you talk to anybody who doesn't believe the Patriots have their franchise quarterback on the roster now.
No, I thought, I think it was Mark Sanchez yesterday that made an interesting comparison and talked about Drew Bledsoe and some similarities.
Yeah, actually, I wrote about that a couple of weeks ago. The skill set obviously isn't really the same.
Right,
Drew had a little bit better arm and couldn't move at all. I think I think he had a cement base, but held him in place. But the 1993 Patriots season has some similarities to how you hope this one would progress. They won their last, I think, four games that season. They were 1-11 at one point, won the last four, and all four of those victories were thrilling, and Bledsoe just made massive progress. Didn't have a ton of talent around him. Had a little bit more than May does, I think. He had Bruce Armstrong at left tackle, a few guys like that. But, you know, Ben Coates was coming into his own, and he would, you know, he would be to Bledsoe what Gronk was to Brady in a lot of ways. But the comparison of just getting better and better as the season goes on, where you look pretty raw when you first start, and then by the end, everybody's anticipating the next season because the young QB looks so good. That's the similarity to what we saw 31 years ago with Drew.
Well, Jalen Polk continues to be lost in space more often than not, but it was good to see flashes of the Kendrick Bourne we hoped he would be out there.
Yeah, that was a professional performance, I thought, because he was clearly benched last week. Nobody put it in that words that I saw, but I was in Chicago covering that game, and it was just pretty clear they weren't happy with some of the mental mistakes he'd been making. He had a five-yard penalty followed by making a catch the previous week that didn't get to the sticks. He cut off his route short, and those are things Kendrick Bourne, an eight-year veteran, can't be doing, especially when you're looking to him as an example for the younger receivers. So he sat, and he handled it really well, like a total pro, and then came out and had a good game yesterday. And you know, Bourne's an energy guy, very positive. I think that's a great thing to have in the huddle with May. He signed for a couple more seasons, so to see him carry himself and play the way he did yesterday after a really frustrating week reflects great on him. And to a degree, it reflects well on Mayo, too. He's not getting much credit for anything right now, but I think it's pretty clear that Bourne, who's played for a few different coaches in the league, has a lot of respect for May and handled that whole thing well, both of them did.
He didn't exactly let up the stat sheet, but as you pointed out in the Globe, it was great to have Christian Barmore back out there yesterday.
Yeah, he played basically on passing downs and had three tackles. I think he came in like 6 or 7 minutes into the game. So he wasn't I didn't see a snap count, but he wasn't out there a ton. But I didn't think we'd see him this season after the news about his blood clots came down in camp. That's an incredibly scary thing to have. And he talked a little bit about it yesterday, about how his leg swelled up and they were concerned that, you know, this could be a life-threatening thing. And you hear about that and you wonder if his career is over, and you know, he was wondering if it might be a end of life thing for him, which is terrifying. So to see him back on the field as one of their best players, and just to have the day go pretty well for him, that was good to see.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. Now, you're headed our way doing a story for the Globe on Maine's wide receiver Montego Moss. Can you tell us more?
Well, from what I gather, he's Randy Moss's son. I've heard that.
What?
But, yeah.
I feel like I should have known that after all these years.
I know. It just blows my mind that someone who's the play-by-play voice of the team does not know that. But now that I've informed you, you can use that on the broadcast.
Thank you. I'll give you credit. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. But yeah, my editor has been talking about doing something on him and the main program since one of his highlights early season was shown on ESPN, and Randy commented on it. Kind of a cool situation. And then, of course, Montego had another great highlight this weekend against Elon with the hurdling the defender. So come up and do a nice little story on him and get to hang around Orono for a little bit.
He's a terrific young man, and we've been so impressed with him. Through the years, he's been a great leader on the team. And, you know, we thought when Maine struggled the last couple of years with a couple of wins in each season, you thought, well, surely with this transfer portal and with Randy Moss as his dad, this guy will be out of here. And I think it's a real credit to both Montego and Randy that he's chosen to stay and help get this program closer and closer to where they want to be.
I know that it's pretty remarkable, especially given you watch college football now and they'll describe a guy who just made a catch, and he was at Auburn 2 years before that. And just wild how much guys move around now to see somebody stick it out. That's a great part of the story. And I got to tell you, other people have told me the same thing you did about him, just that he's a terrific kid. Travis Lazarchuk writes for the Portland paper, and fellow UMaine grad. He did a story on him a couple of years ago and said what a great kid he is. So looking forward to meeting him Wednesday.
And there's a chance, I'm told, your people have spoken to our people that maybe you'll stop by and visit us here in the studio Wednesday.
I have no people. I don't know about you, but I'm the people. I'm the person. But I think I'll be able to swing by. I'm going to be up there most of the day and meeting up. My old college roommate happens to be in town at the same time. So we'll be at Pat's Pizza for a couple hours, and then I'll probably swing by.
Excellent. Well, we're looking forward to that. Hey, I wanted to ask you, before we let you go, and you alluded to it in your piece in the Globe yesterday, but still nothing official on the Red Sox radio job. What's the holdup there?
They want to announce everything at once. That's what I gather. That I would bet on Will Fleming being back, though it's not set in stone right now. I think he's pretty comfortable with the possibility of what if not being the total lead voice, which is what he wanted, being one of the main voices on the broadcast. I don't know if they're going to hire another play-by-play voice, which, you know, they've typically had two, or if they'll move in an ex-player there. Maybe some more radio. You know, it takes off. Nesson announces their broadcast teams at the same time, and that will be part of it.
Yeah, I actually think Lou did a nice job last year with those times when he did a little play-by-play.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, he's done it a little bit over the years. He did it covering the 2013 World Series. I actually texted him a while back to confirm that. I wasn't sure if I was misremembering it. Something didn't happen, but he did a little bit during the playoffs that year, and he did more last year, and he's a work in progress, but I enjoy listening to him talk about baseball no matter which broadcast he's on. And of all the people that they have, I think he has the potential to be the guy like Remy that has built the long connection with Boston fans. I just wish both sides would, especially TV, would be a little bit more consistent with their lineups.
That would be nice. Chad Fenn of the Boston Globe. Chad, thanks as always, and we'll look forward to seeing you here on Wednesday.
All right, Rich. Yeah, look forward to it, too. Maybe I'll bring up my Downtown Hall of Fame mug with me.
Oh, there you go. Well, we've got one here in the studio, because I understand if you always have to drink out of a Hall of Fame mug, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's one of the things in my list of demands when I go places.
I like that. That's the Chad Fenn contract rider. It's nice.
Exactly. Like Van Halen.
There you go. Thanks, Chad.
See you, Rich.
Chad Fenn, Boston Globe, with us here on Downtown.